إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، أولئك هم المفلحون. ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات، وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher and protector. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I enjoin upon myself and all of you all seated here to adopt a life of taqwa. For it is only through the life of taqwa can an individual, can a slave of Allah, attain success in this world and the hereafter. Secondly, it is important, it is incumbent upon all of us to thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties that He has bestowed upon us, for the numerous favors that He has conferred upon us. For if a slave of Allah were to try to count the blessings of Allah that Allah the Almighty has blessed him with, he would fail miserably. He would fail miserably to count all of them in total. As Allah the Almighty, our beloved Maker, He Himself says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to ever try to enumerate, to count the blessings, the virtues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon you, you would fail to count them or number them in total. Allahu Akbar. Because the favors of Allah, if we were to take a look around us, every single thing that is around us, within ourselves, within our bodies, are a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they be positive or negative. And when we say negative, what we mean is even the sicknesses around us, Even the trials, the calamities, the affliction that Allah the Almighty puts us through, even those are blessings in disguise. But we being futile, we being weak, we find it difficult to perceive the blessing in those calamities. Allahu Akbar. So likewise, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is upon us to thank Allah the Almighty for this blessed day that He has blessed us with. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the best of days upon which the sun has risen is the day of Jumu'ah, Friday. فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمْ, on that very day was our father was created, on this very day, on Friday. وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and on this very day he was admitted entry into paradise, into Jannah. وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا, and it was on this very day, on Friday, he was taken out of Jannah and sent to the face of this earth. وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, حديث in Muslim. Likewise, the day of judgment, the day of Qiyamah, will not overtake us except that it happens, it occurs on a Friday. This is the virtue attached to this day, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. It is a day where we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as we read the blessings and the virtues, there is also a scary fact that the day of judgment will also occur on a Friday. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, you and I, are we ready to meet our Maker? Are we ready to meet Allah the Almighty? If the day of judgment were to overtake us today, are we ready to turn to Allah the Almighty? Are we ready to face Him? This is a question that we need to keep asking ourselves. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, today's khutbah is going to be about the ayah that I recited in the beginning. It is going to be about unity. See, now unity is something that some people, the minute you mention unity, they are allergic to it. They can't accept it. It is as if, you know, some disease has immediately taken hold of them. They can't accept the word unity. The reason being, we have become so narrow-minded. We have become so narrow-minded that we can't even accept the word unity. On the other hand, the religion that we follow, the beautiful religion of Islam, is extremely broad-minded, unlike us who have become so narrow-minded. For if we were to take unity by itself, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, unity has different stages. Let us look at it at a large scale. Let's magnify. Let's not look at it whether I'm a Shafi'i and you are a Hanafi, or he is a Maliki and he is a Hanbali. Not in that context. Rather, let's look at it this way, that we are all the creatures of Allah the Almighty. We are all from the creation of Allah the Almighty. And I'm not only talking about the human race. The human race, animals, the animal kingdom, you take plants, you name it, every single thing is from the creation of Allah the Almighty. Have we not got something in common now? Have we not got something in common? Leave all the differences outside the door. Look at it in this angle, are we all not common? All of us are the creation of Allah the Almighty. This is a universal fact that we have to accept. And that is the very reason that why when we even look at an animal suffering, whether it be a cow, a bull, a dog, or whatever animal it may be, the minute we see the animal suffering, our heart rends. The reason being, the compassion in our heart overtakes and we think that this is another creation of Allah the Almighty. We feel pity for that animal. The reason being, we are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now scale down to the human race. You see, I'm talking at a level, we're not talking religion here. We're not talking religion, we're just talking in the level of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's look at the human race. All of us are the children of one father. Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. We are all the children of Adam, the human race. All of us. Leave the differences out once again. Just say for example, it's an example, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid and save us all. If a disaster were to afflict our country, right now, Allah save us all, Allah save us all. If a tsunami were to come into this locality, I'm just saying, if it were to come, and now things are being destroyed, at this moment, are you going to be thinking, you know what, I'm a Shafi'i, so you know, you stay away, I'm not going to help you, you are a Hanafi, or you are this, or you are that, or the different groups, you start naming one another, and you start avoiding, will a human being act in that fashion? When a disaster strikes, humanity, the trait of humanity immediately overtakes you. It is the human race at large which is being affected. You would run out to help. The non-Muslims, the Muslims, on that very day, at that very moment, nothing would matter other than the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life. Now do you see that you have something in common? You have something in common to unite. Now, scale down to the Muslim Ummah. To the Muslim Ummah, we, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, not looking at it at the creation level, and then not at the human race level, but now look at it the Muslim Ummah. But it is a very sad plight that the Muslim Ummah today, Allahu Akbar, we have differed. We are disunited. We cannot unite even over a single matter. We are differing in so many things. But in reality, we are one big large family. Are we not? We are from the children of Adam. Likewise, we are from the family of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we not? Are we not under the flag of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? We are all united under one flag. But why can't we be united in petty issues? We generally differ in petty issues. We can't come to a conclusion unanimously. The reason being, like I said, if a disaster were to overtake, likewise, if you were to see a person drowning, he's drowning in the ocean and he's asking for help. Say a Muslim is drowning and he's asking for help. If a non-Muslim was on the bank or on the shore of the river, would he say, no, you've got a beard and trample him down? Would he do that? If he's seeking for help, help, I'm drowning, help me. Would he say, no, you've got a beard or you've got a turban? And trample him down. No. Rather he would jump. Perhaps he would even jump into the ocean to help him. This is how unity affects all of us. But this is the topic, the minute you try to bring it up, many wise people start to say, you know, it's something, you can't, it's impossible. It is something good for the coffee shops where you can decide and talk about things, but you can never bring it about. It's never going to become a reality. Why? Because that person is a deviant. That person is a kafir. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, who are we? Who are we to determine the state of the faith of a person, of an individual? Who are we? Are we God? We're trying to do this, we're trying to become Allah. Allah save us all. How do we know what is in the heart of a person, of an individual? Even when you look at non-Muslims, each and every non-Muslim has the potential someday to become a Muslim. Someday. The greatest sinner on the face of this earth, someday he has the potential to become a saint, to become a wali, to become a friend from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are we to criticize? Who are we to put that person down? Even at his deathbed, are we people who are at the deathbed of each and every individual, each and every human being? He can be a kafir. He can be the worst sinner. But at his deathbed, if he were to utter the kalima, if he were to seek forgiveness from Allah the Almighty, Allah who is the most forgiving, the most merciful, the most beneficent, if he were to forgive him, he would go flying into Jannah. Whilst you and I, who are bickering about his death, bickering about his sins, bickering about his transgressions, we are adding excess baggage to our sin load.
Rather we keep quiet and worry about our own selves. Prepare for our own death. Prepare to meet our beloved Maker. This is what we should give priority to. Not bicker and talk about other people and backbite and slander about people. See, at times you take a family for example. You take a Muslim family, I'm just saying, this is another example. There may be two or three brothers in that family. Perhaps one brother goes according to the moon sighting, okay, and he determines his Eid through moon sighting. The other brother, blood brother, he goes according to calculations and he determines his Eid day on calculations. Okay, so there is a difference of opinion here. And like I said in the beginning, each and every human being, we are in the billions, the Muslims. Say 1.6, 1.7 billion Muslims. Each human being has his own opinion. You have a round table meeting, each person in that table would give his own opinion. He would have different opinions. No opinion is going to be the same. One would say red, other one would say black. One would say white, other one would say blue. This is how it works. So in one family, if two brothers were to have two different opinions, and perhaps even celebrate Eid on two different days, but yet can they not be united as brothers under one roof? Under one roof, can they not be brothers? Look at the beautiful example. There's a beautiful hadith that I want to share with you as we go on. But let me mention an anecdote, an incident which took place during the time of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And please remember salawat whenever I mention the beautiful name of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were his best friends? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. Best friends. And the greatest of Sahaba, Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. But when you go through the books of history, the life of our Sahaba and the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a time the difference of opinion between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu was so great. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say one thing and Umar radiallahu anhu would say the exact opposite. But you see the beauty of the difference of opinion between them, they were so united. Nothing could separate them. This was the brotherhood between them. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, they are not arguing and fighting about shall we paint the masjid red or shall we paint the masjid blue. They are not arguing whether shall we air-condition the masjid or where shall we put fans in the masjid. No, much greater issues. Look at this incident and I hope it inspires all of us here. This was right after the Battle of Badr. Now, the Muslims were victorious and there were captives, POWs, prisoners of war. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now wondering as what to do with these captives. So he takes the counsel of his best friend, he calls Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Ya Abu Bakr, what do you think we shall do with these prisoners? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his mashura, his counsel, his advice, his opinion was, Ya Rasulullah, Islam is fresh. Islam is something new. So, I think the best thing that we could do is, how about we ransom these captives back to their relatives in Makkah, because after all, they are our relatives too. So let us ransom them back to their relatives in Makkah for a good price. And then what we could do is we could take that money and build Islam, strengthen Islam, strengthen the Muslim army to fight other cities and countries. We need this army to be strong for Islam to spread. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's advice. And then he asked, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, what is your opinion? Now we all know about Umar radiallahu anhu. What a great sahabi. His reply was, Ya Rasulullah, my mashura, my advice is, let the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu be handed over to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Let the cousin of Ali radiallahu anhu, the relative of Ali radiallahu anhu, be handed over to Ali radiallahu anhu. Let my cousins, let my relatives be handed over to me. And let Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu slaughter his cousin with his own hands. Let Ali radiallahu anhu slaughter his relatives with his own hands, and let me slaughter my relatives with my own hands. Allahu Akbar. This was his mashura. And then he goes on to say, Ya Rasulullah, and let this act be known to the world. Let the world come to know of this. Let the people, the Arabs in Makkah, come to know of this. And likewise, let Allah the Almighty witness that we do not keep anything between us and Allah. This is my mashura. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before we go on, just take a minute or take a second to analyze these two opinions. These two opinions. One towards Paul Pity and the other one towards God. You see? Two different opinions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes the opinion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He takes the opinion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But we don't see in the incident that Umar radiallahu anhu was hurt, was upset, that my opinion was not accepted. Now today what do we have? We have a meeting and then you say something and someone else says the other thing. And if your mashura is not accepted, you don't ever go to that foundation, that institute ever again. Why? Because they disregard me. They don't take my opinion seriously. Or they don't take me seriously for that matter. But look at the beauty between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acts upon the opinion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now the next day, Umar radiallahu anhu, as usual, his habit, he used to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is headed now to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he comes to the majlis or where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu weeping, they're crying. He immediately asks, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what has made you all cry? Please tell me too so that I can cry with you all. So I also can sit down here and cry with you all. Allahu Akbar. Look at the friendship. Look at the unity. Look at the brotherhood. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then clarifies, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah the Almighty has accepted your opinion. We were wrong. We were wrong. Allah has accepted your opinion and Allah has sent down the Quran in confirmation to them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now, do you think Umar radiallahu anhu said, see, I told you you should have followed me in the first place. Umar radiallahu anhu did not reply as such. Rather, Umar radiallahu anhu started weeping. Allahu Akbar. This is the caliber of the Sahaba. The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that we are supposed to follow, that we are supposed to take as role model. He started weeping and he sits down in that gathering. Allahu Akbar. He was weeping that Allah the Almighty has accepted his opinion. This is the beauty in regard to the difference of opinion, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And like I said in the beginning, we Muslims, we are one big family. We are one big family. Look at the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan al-marsus. A believer to another believer, he and the other believer are like a building, are like a plastered building. Yashuddu ba'duhu ba'dha. وَشَبَّكَ بَيْنَ عَصَابِعِهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to illustrate, he joined his fingers in such a manner, just as how you would place bricks in a wall, just as how each brick supports another brick. This is how a mu'min is to another mu'min. A believer should be to another believer. He should support him. He should help him. He should strengthen him. And this is the power of unity, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Hadith goes on. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ That the example of a mu'min in his love, in his brotherhood, in his compassion, in his unity with other believers, كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ It is like one body. It is like one complete body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالْحُمَّى وَالسَّهَرِ In that body, if one organ, if one limb were to get hurt, say for example, your finger gets cut, your whole body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, tada'a lahu sa'irul jasad. The whole body rushes, the whole body aches in return, the whole body goes through fever, the whole body, the person by himself, he suffers insomnia. He finds it difficult to sleep because of the pain of one little finger, for example. If your finger were to get cut, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, just one tiny cut. Say you were chopping a vegetable and your finger got cut. Just a cut. The healing process, the whole body takes place. The whole body immediately springs into action. The blood flow to that particular organ, it recedes. Because if not, you would bleed to death. You would bleed to death. And immediately the body starts producing protein, such as collagen and other proteins, to help with the healing process. You know, once you get a wound, you get a rough texture called a scab. A scab grows over your skin before that brown thing falls off. This scab is formed so that infection from outside does not attack your body, until the skin inside heals itself automatically and beautifully with the help of Allah. The whole body springs into action. So likewise, the Muslim Ummah, say for example, one country or some part of the Muslim Ummah is affected, that does not mean that we look at that problem and start multiplying that problem all over the place. Just because you get cut in your finger, do you cut all other fingers? Do you cut all 10 fingers? No. Rather, we should take steps to heal the problem, to eradicate the problem, to rectify the problem. Just as how the body springs into action to heal that wound, the Muslim Ummah, and my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the blessing of Allah the Almighty, that He has given us so much of freedom in this country. But we know, we are living in a time filled with trials and calamities. We need to be careful. Every action of ours, say we are driving on the road, the road is a place where your courtesy is very important. Everybody is traveling from point A to point B. Everybody wants to get there on time. Everybody wants to rush. But that doesn't mean we become a road hog. We start, you know, road rage. We start pelting our emotions all over the place, scolding people. This is not how we show our akhlaq. This is not how we will bring people towards Islam. Rather, we will start making them harbor hatred and grudge towards the Muslims. And if you were responsible for that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is a great sin indeed. It is a great sin. So likewise, in our dealings, in every single aspect, we need to act in such a manner that people are impressed and come towards Islam. How did Islam spread in the beginning? It was through the akhlaq of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They were traders. Wherever they went, they showed the beauty of Islam. They did not fool people. They did not cheat people. They did not put people into messes and soups. Rather, they helped people come up. Today we have the problem of ego. That is the biggest disease. Ego. Every one of us, we want our opinion to be accepted. We want to be the person who is in the forefront. This is the problem everybody, all of us, including myself, we have this ego problem. Ego and then jealousy. Jealousy, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is a disease that is affecting all of us. We need to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure us from that disease. For that disease, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. Beware of jealousy, for jealousy is something that will eat away at your good deeds, just as how a fire would gobble up a dry log. A dry log. So if you were to put a dry log on fire in the middle of this masjid, Allah save us all, we would be suffocated by the smoke, and that log would catch fire in no time at all, and it would destroy every single thing around it. This is the example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us. We are jealous. We have professional jealousy. We say we are in the trade, we have mastered the trade, we have become a big businessman in a particular trade. Now we want to monopolize that trade. Just you say another brother is starting up the very same business in a small manner. Now you are big, you have got connections, you call around and block him and kill his business. This is not how the Muslims behave. We are supposed to leave behind a legacy that people will remember good about us. We need to help others come up in life. We need to bring about legends. We need to help one another. This is how we work. You take any profession, any profession. Just as how you have become a master now, you have become an expert. You need to train someone else to take up that place after you. You don't monopolize it. This is jealousy. The minute you see someone coming up, you're jealous. You see someone running in a good motor vehicle, you're jealous. You see a person who has got a good house, we are jealous. Allah save us all. Allah save us all. We try to cook up rumors that, you know, perhaps he earned this money in a haram income. How do we know that? Rather, we pray for that person. We say, MashaAllah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is through Allah's help. And perhaps that person struggled hard. He strived hard and this is how he got all of this wealth. Look at the way he gives charity. Look at this and look at that. And likewise, if I want to become an individual like that, I need to strive myself. Not sit around here and there talking bad about that person. This is the other disease that is affecting the ummah. All spiritual diseases connected to the heart. The heart needs to be pure, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. For the heart is the seat of taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a narration is reported to have said, he pointed to his chest, At-taqwa hahuna wa ashar ila sadrihi thalathan, At-taqwa hahuna, At-taqwa hahuna, At-taqwa hahuna. Your taqwa is over here, your taqwa is over here, your taqwa is over here. فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Remember, it's very easy for you to look at a person, oh, he's got a huge beard, his beard covers his whole chest, and to say that, mashallah, this man is a muttaqi. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, appearances are very easy. The external, you know, the way we dress and all of this is something very easy. Many a time you see a person is in the first row of the masjid, but the sins that he is involved in, Allah save us all. He abuses his wife. He suffocates her in silence. She has no one to go to. He's addicted to pornography. So many diseases with him. The exterior is simple, but the interior is that thing that we all need to work. Our personality, our attitude, our akhlaq, our taqwa, that wherever we be, no one can see us. We are in a room, all alone. Now do we fear Allah the Almighty? Allah the Almighty who has given sight to over 1 billion human beings. Is that Allah? Is our beloved Allah blind? Can he not see? We think that he can't see. Allah save us all. We try to hide our sins away from the people, but we forget that our Maker is watching us. We are not ashamed to do all of this in front of Allah. The heart is something that needs to be pure, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. And for a person to get taqwa and husnul khuluq, akhlaq, go hand in hand. For when a person's heart is pure, unity comes about easily. And remember, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, after the power of Allah, next is the power of unity. For what an ummah can do together, the power of unity is so powerful, that you can achieve, that this ummah can move in leaps and bounds if we are united. If all of us are united, we can eradicate any problem. Look at the enemies of Islam, the signs of the day of Qiyamah, that they will gather from the east and the west. They will gather from the east and the west, just as how they gather for a meal, and they will start planning, hatching plots against the Muslim ummah. But sadly, you know what? The enemies of Islam do not have to do anything. They can just sit back and relax because we are fighting amongst ourselves. We are fighting amongst ourselves. They can just sit back and look at the drama. We are not united to fight back. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with unity. And just as we gather for prayer in the sufuf, in the masjid, just as how we are united in salah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with brotherhood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with love for one another. Let not the petty differences, petty issues divide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us as one ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the evil that is surrounding us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our country, keep us safe in this country, and honor the Muslims in this country, protect the Muslims in this country, protect the wealth of the Muslims in the country, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the masajid of the Muslims of this country, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our deeds and accept of all, forgive all of our sins and accept all of our good deeds, and may Allah the Almighty unite us in Jannah. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.